You'll be following in your Bibles today. You can make your way to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. As an old preacher once said, ain't everybody going to heaven that's talking about that. And that's what I want to talk about today, heaven. I hope and pray that we're not one like that old preacher was speaking about. I hope and pray that each of us here today have been bought by the blood of Christ, if we're of an accountable age, that we've obeyed the gospel. 1 John 1:7, that we are walking in the light as He is in the light, that we're repenting of our sins as we do sin, and that we are walking towards eternity. After all, isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we come to worship Almighty God, to encourage one another, to be strengthened and uplifted by song and prayer, communion by His Word? So I guess the question I want to bring to the forefront of our minds today and try to help us do is to think more about heaven. And if you're not thinking more about heaven, with all of the glory up there, why not? Why is it not an important part of your thought process? 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It wouldn't be for the resurrection, there'd be no heaven waiting for us. Never forget that. To an inheritance, here's heaven, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You're going through trials and tribulations in this life, but most of the time, because you know you're headed to eternity, because you know you're headed to heaven, there needs to be great rejoicing in your life. Yeah, every now and then Satan's going to throw that dart at you, and he's going to bring you down, but we need to get right back up on that trek to heaven. Look at it again, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, if you're under trial and tribulation, ye're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You're going to go through it. I'm going to go through it. We're going to go through it. But there's something to look forward to. That's being with Jesus in heaven. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Why the rejoicing? Because we're going to be in heaven. What a reason to rejoice. An English poet wrote this one time, said, I never saw a moor, I never saw the sea, yet know I how heather looks. And I couldn't picture that in my mind, so I had to look up the definition of a heather. It's a flowing field with purple flowers. He says, yet know I how heather looks and what a wave must be. I never spoke with God nor visited in heaven, yet certain am I of the spot as if the chart were given. How certain are you of the spot? How certain are you that heaven exists? Again, how often do you stop during your day, during your week, to think about heaven? How often do you pray to God about heaven? How often do you encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ about the place we're all going to? Heaven. How important it is to you. Stop and think about it. Stop and think about that poet. She knew it was there. If heaven did not exist, then stop and think, Christian, about your life on earth. Stop and think about everything you do. If you're serving God, it would all be meaningless if heaven did not exist. Why struggle for years to get to heaven? Why go through the suffering that some go through in order to be in eternity with God? Brothers and sisters, when we cease to exist, it's not like the term we hear, we're dead all over, just like Rover. There is life. There is eternity. There are those that go through life. What is there? Why allow myself to be persecuted, they say? Why allow myself to be downtrodden? Where is my hope when I'm terminally ill? What is it that I have to look forward to? What is it we have to look forward to if there is no heaven? Thank God for His mercy, for His grace, for His Son, that there is a heaven. Hope of heaven. Hope of heaven. Hope, an expectant desire because it's a promise from God. Hope of heaven is a great motivation for you and I to be good. It's a great motivation for you and I to do good, to do right, so that we can be in eternity with God. You take a poll in congregations throughout the world, and you'll find that one of their favorite sermons to listen to hear about, one of the great studies that they enjoy other than those about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is that of heaven. It's a great subject for churchgoers. Go through your songbook. Your favorite hymns are probably ones that have to do with heaven. Take a poll of preachers and their sermons that they have in their libraries. And other than Jesus Christ, probably the second highest amount of sermons that they have on hand, that they have preached, or that they're intending to preach, is probably has something to do with heaven. So why shouldn't we be thinking about it more? I hope today our study is going to help us do just that. Because what I want to do this morning, I want us to look at heaven. And I want us hopefully from this study to come to a realization of why it's such, and why it needs to be such a precious place to you and a precious place to me. Number one, heaven needs to be a precious place for me and for you. Because heaven is a place for the pure. You know who the pure are? You walking in the light? Is your soul cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ as you repent of your sins? Have you been buried in the waters of baptism and walking in newness of life? You are the pure. And heaven is there for us. Because the pure are souls that are free from blemishes. Christians, there's nothing wrong with knowing. There's nothing wrong with believing that your soul is free from blemishes. That God can look down at your soul and see a soul that is white as snow. In fact, that's what He wants to see. And it's all possible by the blood, by the resurrection, the victory over death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But that's what Jesus meant on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Again, isn't that why we're here? Because we want to see God. So therefore, I as a Christian, if I am going to believe that heaven is a place for the pure, I need to make sure that I am a part of the pure. I need to purify my soul. That means allowing God by His grace, by His mercy, to put it in a place where the blood of Christ is going to cleanse it. It's nothing done on my part other than obedience. I need to obey the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Don't say, preacher, you can't say you can purify your soul. Scripture tells us we can. But we do it through obedience unto God, not by following the world. We purify our souls when we obey the truth. Proverbs 4:23 tells us to keep our hearts with all diligence. Well, what's it telling me to do with my heart? To keep it. Keep it how? Keep it what? Keep it pure. Keep it without blemish. Keep it ready for that great day when God's going to send our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to receive us into eternity. Into that place that exists beyond a shadow of a doubt. A place where only purity exists. Brethren, there's going to be nothing, not a thing impure or sinful in heaven. We're all familiar with Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's us. That's the pure Christian walking in the light, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We are the ones that are going to be in this beautiful place that's called heaven. Have you made it an important part of your life? Number two, I want us to understand about heaven. Not only is it a place for the pure, in other words, a place that we are going to be together with God, but it is a prepared place for God's people. It's where God wants us to be. Remember when Christ was preparing His disciples for His departure in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1? He tells them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." You see that? I go and prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place for the pure. A prepared place for the soul without blemish. A prepared place that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went to the cross for. So that you and I in eternity would have a place to dwell. In another sense, heaven is a place prepared. Well, this is from Matthew 25:34. Heaven is a place prepared from the foundation of the world for the faithful. It's not an afterthought of God. God didn't just all of a sudden come up with a brainstorm. I know what I'll do. I'll send my Son to a cross, let Him die so that He can prepare a place for all these people that are believing in Me. That's not the way it happened. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. He knew what man would do. He knew that this place was going to have to be prepared. Heaven is not an afterthought of God. Heaven is a plan of God. And He planned it because He loves us so much and because He wants to be with each and every one of us all the way throughout eternity. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. In Hebrews 11, verse 13, well, you look at the whole faith chapter. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. By faith, verse 7, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed. Now look at verse 13. These all died in faith. Who are these all? All of those that did what God wanted them to do by faith. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They understood the song we sing, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." They understood that. Verse 14, "For they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." If they would have been mindful, if they would have always thought about where they came from, then they probably would have wanted to go back. But these great men and women of faith didn't think about where they came from. They thought about where they were going. Brothers and sisters, we have a problem sometimes. We think about where we came from. We want to go back. We ruin our chances for heaven. We ruin our chances for the place that God has prepared for us. These people are an example that you cannot live your life that way. Once you come up in newness of life, you need to walk away from that old life on into eternity towards God, towards heaven. Verse 15, "And truly, truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now, because they're people of faith, but now they desire a better country." What's that better country? Heaven. "That is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." Look at it, there it is again. "For he hath prepared for them a city." It's not in their past, it's in their future. God has prepared a city for his faithful. Another thing I want you to know about heaven. Heaven is a permanent place for God's people. Not only is it a place that God has prepared, it's a place that we're going to be in eternity. It's a place that we're going to be forever and ever and ever. That's a little hard for us to understand. Because you see, statistics say that we're a mobile people. Statistics today say that the average family, the average person, will move at least 5 times in his life. Now, for preachers, that's a little higher. It's probably 12 to 15. But the average person is going to move 5 times in his life. I know Cheryl and I have lived in well over a dozen places in the times 40, 45 years that we've been married. 1 Peter 2:11. Christians are sojourners and pilgrims. We just talked about that. "This world is not my home. We're just passing through." Where are we passing through? Remember what we just read in the book of Hebrews? We're passing through to a better place. We're passing through to heaven. You've heard me a few times in teaching and such tell you about the book of Hebrews, how a good name for the book of Hebrews, if you ever wanted to change its name, would be a book of betters. Because it talks about things being better for you and I. It talks about a better mediator, a better savior than Moses was, a better hope. There's so many betters in there that Christians need to take their time to read and to understand. But heaven is a better place. Remember Abraham? Abraham left his country to go to a place his seed would receive as an inheritance. Again, the same book of Hebrews chapter 11. We won't take time to read it. We don't have that much time. But Hebrews 11 verses 8 through 10, basically, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Why would that word foundations be used there? Because Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those men of old knew that they were just sojourners. Their tents, their tabernacles that they lived in didn't have foundations, but they were going to the greatest foundation of the world, the foundation that was established by God, the foundation that rests on Almighty Christ, and that is heaven. Their tents weren't permanent. Heaven is permanent. Heaven is a permanently prepared place. And we talk about everything we have and everything we own, brothers and sisters, that's where it is. Remember what Christ talked about in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21? You and I, we need to be seeking a place where neither moth does rust or destroy. We need to be looking a place, a foundation, a place that's going to be there. Our time there is never diminished because it's an eternal place. That makes it precious, just the fact that it's permanent, because here, you know, we have no permanence. I don't care if you live in the same house for 45 years, you have no permanence. Because one day it's going to end. Won't happen in heaven. Won't happen in heaven. Heaven is a permanent place for God's people. Another thing I want us to know about heaven, to help us think about it more, heaven is a place for God's patient people. Patience. Wish I had more of it. Got more than I used to have, but I still got a long way to go. How about you? Patience is often translated from the Greek word hupomone. It means endurance. Patience is a Christian virtue from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. What's a virtue? Moral excellence, goodness, righteousness. That means, brothers and sisters, it's something that we can train ourselves to have. Remember, I said I got more than I used to? It's because I paid attention. But I still got a long way to go. But we need to learn to wait on God. We need to learn to have the patience, because things for the Christian do not happen on the Christian's timetable. For the Christian, things happen on God's timetable. But heaven's going to always be there. I need to have the patience to wait for it. I might want to go now. Paul did. But he knew it was far better for him to stay and preach and teach. So heaven is a place for God's patient people. Another Greek word that's used for patience, makrothumia, means long-suffering. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, through faith and patience we inherit the promises. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, Paul wrote, "For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed unto us." Again, we're just a passing through. And we're going to have problems. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. We need to go through them with patience, because there is a better country waiting for us. And that better country is a perfect place. Remember, Christ says, "I go and prepare a place for you." What do you think? What type of place do you think he would have prepared? Revelation tells us one without tears, without sorrow. Heaven is a perfect place. And I don't know if we can fully comprehend that, because anybody here ever been to a perfect place? You know, people spend their lifetime saving up their savings so they can go to the perfect place. To some people, a perfect place is Florida. I want to retire in Florida. I want to retire in the Caribbean. It's a perfect place, yeah, except for the hurricanes. It's a perfect place, except for the skeeters at night. There's no such thing in this world as a perfect place. Crime is all over. Weather's all over. So many other things. We're not going to find that in heaven. Heaven is a perfect place. There's going to be nothing in heaven to cause unhappiness. You ever been unhappy? There's going to be nothing in heaven to cause unhappiness. Again, Revelation 21:4, we already made reference to it. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things... He's talking about those things on this earth. The former things have passed away. They don't exist anymore. The only thing up in heaven is bliss and joy and love and the ability that we'll have to worship God day and night. Two more things. Heaven is a place promised to God's faithful people. Remember how I opened up? I hope every one of us here has obeyed the gospel. I hope every one of us here are walking in the light. I hope every one of us here understand that if we are, that we have eternal life, and that eternal life is a promise of God. It's one of the great and wonderful blessings that are talked about in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, where all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, "And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life." God promised it to us, brothers and sisters. It's there. Just as sure as heaven is there, eternal life is there. What more could we want? Our hope is laid up in heaven, Colossians 1:5. It's a promise of God. Is there anybody here today that does not look forward to the promises of God? We all do. And heaven is the greatest promise that has yet to be fulfilled. You say, well, what about His Son? He sent Him. God has done everything that He can do to help you and I gain eternity. He sent His only begotten Son into the world. That Son shed His blood. That Son died. God raised that Son from the dead. That Son descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. What more do you want God to do? Want to be in heaven and you haven't obeyed the gospel? It's not going to happen. Heaven is a place for God's faithful people. Do you look forward to it? If you look forward to it, you need to obey the gospel. You need to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to allow yourself to be buried in the waters of baptism after your repentance. You need to walk in the light towards eternity. And here's the final point. Because heaven is a place of perfect peace. None of us have ever experienced that. But hopefully all of us will. Now you stop and think about a place of perfect peace and you think about a place that we live in. Well, think about a place that people have always lived in. Even during the time of Jesus, Matthew 24, it speaks of wars and rumors of wars. I heard a scholar not too long ago on TV say that at any one point in time in this world, there are at least 12 wars or conflicts going on. Not full-blown wars like we know of and think of, but those plus little conflicts. Trials and tribulations between tribes and factions, ideals, countries. You remember what you learned in history about World War I? It was supposed to be the war to end all wars. It didn't work. Not a single one of us here have ever experienced perfect peace, but we can. Because of the grace of God, because of the love of God, because of the blessings of God. In fact, if you look at Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 9, Isaiah 9 and verse 6, it tells us Christ was prophesied to be the Prince of Peace. Not here, but in eternity, where there is perfect peace. Now, He's the Prince of Peace to us in our hearts because of all the reconciliation He has done for us. He reconciled us sinners to a just God, Romans 5:1 says. Reconciled. He brought us back to God, Romans 5:1. He brought us peace there for those that have come into the fold or back into the fold. He reconciled Jews and Gentiles into one body. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. He's the Prince of Peace there in that He brought both Jews and Gentiles. He brought all of mankind back together. But there's still something better. There's still heaven. There's still eternity. But it's not talking about Prince of Peace on earth. Because if you remember the Gospels, allegiance to Christ is going to at times put at variance with those nearest and dearest to Him. Matthew 10, 34 through 37, it's going to pit mom against dad, brother against sister, father against son. There's no everlasting peace. Let me say it again. There is no everlasting peace in this world. You want it, you got to get to heaven. You got to get to heaven. Heaven will be a perfectly peaceful place. No wars, no strifes. Again, isn't that why we're here? Isn't that what we're heading for? Who's going to receive that peace? Who's going to receive that perfect peace in that perfect place that has been perfectly prepared for us? Are you among that number? Because the Bible we study and the Bible we read tells us, brothers and sisters, that only those who desire to go to heaven above all else will be there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Jesus left heaven, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and following. He left heaven for earth so that we could have this perfect peace in this perfect permanent place. That's the reason He came. What do we need to do? We talked about it at the beginning. We need to make sure our soul is purified. How? By obeying the truth. Why? To go to heaven. What truth? The truth about salvation, the truth about worship, the truth about sin. But it all begins with the blood of Christ. It all begins with the salvation that comes from that blood. Do you want to go to heaven? You want to go to that perfect place? If so, brothers and sisters, it begins with obedience to God's holy word. And we leave you with this plea. After studying God's word, if you've not yet confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, why not? If you've not yet allowed yourself to take advantage of the avenue of repentance that God has prepared for you and for me, why not? If you've not yet allowed yourself to be buried in the waters of baptism, why not? If you're not walking in the light as He is in the light, if you don't have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, means if you're not an integral part of the body here, why not? Because you can be. Not a reason in the world that anybody should walk out of this auditorium this morning with their soul not pure. God looking down, not seeing any blemishes. Do you want to go to heaven? You want to go to that peaceful, permanent place? If so, and you need to respond to the invitation, why not think about doing so as we stand and as we sing?